This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, covering Ipswich Town since 2015. I'm Richard Woodward and you're tuned to a live reaction special as Ipswich Town looks set to appoint Kieran McKenna as Paul Cook's replacement. Joining us tonight to discuss that. We won't talk about Barrow, guys, but yeah, we'll see where the conversation takes us. Gray Fimbo is here. Joe Fares are both here. As always, we are live. We want to hear from all of you as well. Give us your views, give us your questions in the comments. We'll read as many of those as we can. But first off, Kieran McKenna, let's get some initial reactions from the guys and a check-in as well, because Craig's had his booster today. So I'm a bit worried about him. Want to make sure he's all right.
At least and the 5G signal will be okay, won't it?
Bill Gates is picking him up loud and clear. That's what we want.
Craig, well, hopefully he'll give us a bit of a push to get some more subscribers and listeners.
We go. Yeah. Craig, are you doing all right, mate? Is your arm all right?
My arm is fine. I had it yesterday, my booster. My arm is fine. So yesterday I had my booster. I watched Ipswich, and then I woke up at 3:50 this morning to watch the cricket, and then I had a blazing headache all day, and my eyes are gone all bloodshot. But yeah, I say me mobile signal's through the roof, so the Wi-Fi should be fine as well. So yeah, no, we're okay. We're recovered. Thanks very much, mate.
And Joe, tell us about the shirt that you are wearing there.
It's just Al Ali from the Emirates League shirt that I got when I was in Dubai, because from my hotel I could see the Skydive Dubai and they were their sponsor, so I bought it. I think it was their third kit.
Any reason for wearing that, Joe, that we should be teasing out to the audience?
No, I would like to pretend that there's some loose link, but it's just the first one I saw in a shop in Knighttown, but I could have bought it for like 30 quid cheaper literally later on in the same shop mall.
I thought you liked your kits, Rich, and you didn't pick up on the Al Ali third strip there that Joe was wearing.
No, well, it's not in my library, that one.
Emirates
disappointing,
League.
Mate. Disappointing.
Look who's here. Look who's just announced himself.
In wrestling, this is called a run-in, Craig.
Whoa! Where's your theme music, Ben? We don't do
Hang
that.
Hang on a minute. Part. There I've you go. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to take you
slap,
out.
Slap, slap, slap.
I have actually got a ladder outside the door here, so I could go and get that.
Wow, this is great. Royal Rumble. This is a Blue Monday quadruple. This is brilliant.
Every 5 minutes, someone new will drop in.
Can I just say, I was at the 2016 Royal Rumble in Orlando, Florida. And if anyone wants to besmirch my good name about that, I've been doing my research. I'm here to talk about the price of football's Kieran Maguire. Is that right?
If you want, yeah, sure. Price or enough. Paul McKenna. Or
are we going to talk about what's Bradford are being bought by some MFT, NFT, and cryptocurrency? Yeah, let's do that instead. I'll pretend I know what that means.
Let me get
non-fungible
some
tokens
out. There you go, Joe.
Fungible.
Yeah, fungible.
What does fungible mean?
I don't know.
It means
obviously non-fungible.
Not repeatable, but tangible or something like that. Anyway, we will go into the comments. Thank you for everyone for joining us out there. We know that you're there. This isn't just us having a Zoom chat or something like that. Let's lay out some facts to start us off with, and then we can get some views and opinions. So first off, Kieran McKenna is, as far as I'm aware, the website hasn't been updated. He's not actually appointed yet, but as good as we've got Reuters, we've got Sky, The Athletic all reporting it. Close, you'd like to think that they are presumably clued up enough to be able to commit to doing stories publicly on that. McKenna, Northern Irishman, 35 years old, so depressingly an Ipswich manager younger than all of us. Yeah,
only just. I think I'm in his school year, so.
Yeah, all right, Joe, hanging on to dear life with your fingernails there. So young, one of our youngest managers slash head coaches, we'll come to that later on in our entire history. Currently, depending on where you read, an assistant coach or a first team coach at Man United, having worked under Jose, under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, under Michael Carrick briefly, and Ralph Rangnick or Ragnarok or whatever you call him, was a youth player at Spurs, had a recurring hip problem that caused him to retire, went straight into coaching, and worked under Spurs head of academy coaching, John McDermott, who went on to take a role at the FA, and Alex Inglethorpe, who was also at Spurs at the time. Now, I think, Joe, you might know this better than I, head of academy at Liverpool, I think.
Yeah, so yeah, he's been up there a few years, hasn't
he? Caliber people that he surrounded himself
with. Direct line as well, Rich, to Neil Critchley and Stephen Gerrard. Alex Inglethorpe, yeah.
Yeah, and was assistant under Jose for a while. Still at Man United, and as always with Twitter and opinion on there, mixed views of him with the Man United fans. And according to reports, I've seen this on TWTD, set to be joined by Martin Pert as his number two, another Man United coach. Little bit of controversy here. I'll start this early. 44, a bit older. Norfolk born, ex-Norwich Academy player, came through the Academy team with Danny Mills and Craig Bellamy, but didn't work out there. Went on to do a management accountancy degree at Loughborough, but has been a fitness and conditioning coach in his latter years in the US, working with Miami Heat, including Dwayne Ward and Shaq. Yankees, Lakers, went to West Brom, Watford, where I think he ran into Mark Ashton, Fulham, Watford, assistant manager at Eddie Boothroyd at Vancouver Whitecaps, and here he is back in England working at United. So, guys, there's the background for these gentlemen. Who wants to go first? We know Ben's done some good research. Let's get Craig. Let's do it in kind of left and round order. Craig, what's your immediate reaction to these appointments?
My immediate reaction. Appointments? Exactly. It's excitement, hopefully. Yeah. Looking at the setup that we've got, we mentioned it before ourselves, didn't we, in the last couple of weeks, is that the setup we've got behind the scenes seems to be crying out for a head coach type appointment. It didn't really sit with the Neil Harris's or the Neil Warnock's, or even if it was short term. I think they're looking to make things a little bit more modern, take a step away from the manager overseeing everything and just hopefully having a head coach who can slip in and work with the tools that he's being provided elsewhere within the setup. As you said about, you know, comments that on Twitter from fans about these guys, you know, crikey. I think if you want to have a step back point of view, there's plenty of journalists that have written about them, even if they just tweeted about them, isn't there? There's plenty of articles about both of the guys as well. So, you know, if you want a slightly more independent distance view, there's lots of resource and research.
It's a good podcast, Craig. The Athletic one with Andy Mitten and Laurie Whitwell. You could probably get a question asked on that as well. I'd recommend that as well, to your point.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, at the moment, excitement, just intrigue and excitement at the moment.
Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, excitement, a little bit of sort of trepidation with regards to the appointment, but sort of the overall emotion is excitement and looking forward to seeing what he can do. It's just the when Neil Harris was linked, he wasn't the sort of one I wanted, but then when you see a couple of the recent performances, you think, do we need an experienced head to go in there? Yeah. Not to put the players in their place in so much as they need shouting out, but maybe somebody who's got that little bit of experience to deal with seasoned first team players that maybe aren't taking enough responsibility at the moment. But we've obviously gone with the other direction. I felt as though under game changer this era. We'd always end up at this point with a head coach with him aside, but it felt as though Paul Cook was left in charge to try and get us the promotion into the championship. And then at the point we stabilised in the championship, at that point we'd get a head coach. But once you've made that decision to sort of sack Cook and move forwards, it's the case now. Do you look for another safe pair of hands to try and get you up to the Premiership, or do you just jump ahead a couple of steps in the process and in the plan and get that head term, that long term view in now? And without sort of disrespecting McKenna so much, it does feel almost an admittance that this season is probably not going to happen. I wouldn't expect him to come in here and pick up the 2 points a game in the same way that, I say, if we'd have appointed Neil Warnock, for example, it would have been, we're trying to keep this season alive and we are going to try and do that straight away. Where with Kieran McKenna, I don't think that's the case, is it? I think it's we are now building for next season and for the longer term. Anything that we get this promotion is anything that we get this season is a massive bonus. It's a Brucey, but it's not bonus. The plan, I wouldn't say.
No, well, Ben, you watched the coach's voice video earlier in the day, and we both watched for our sins Barrow yesterday at close quarters as well, and definitely obviously spoke about the new manager situation there with that. I mean, what's your to Joe's point, it feels like this guy is a meticulous coach who knows his vision and know what he's doing. He's obviously worked with high caliber players at Man United, but to Joe's point, are you seeing this as a long term? This is a season after this one where we should expect outcomes or results to change markedly? Or do you think maybe because of that gravitas that he's got behind him, because of that way that he's schooled himself in the game, might he make an impact this season?
Who knows? It'd be nice if he did do it quickly. But what does my dad's brother John say? Always think about today, but have one eye on tomorrow. He seemed to try. It sounds like he gets asked a lot the same questions, and he's trying, in that coach's voice thing, he's trying to debunk the fact that he didn't have a long career, and he says he had a long enough career to, you know, see both sides of it. And also, he did raise, he seemed very keen on the word empathy and talking a lot about man management of players. So he's tried to already answer that point. I just DM'd a Man United guy. Can I just read out what he said? Because he's pretty reasonable. Incredibly highly rated at United. Lots of reports saying he was the driving force behind most of the coaching side under Ole. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. He came up with a lot of the game plans for the big games, which often worked well. His philosophy seems to be 4-2-3-1 fast counter-attack, press high. Where have we heard that before? Not sure how good he is at coaching pressing. Where have we heard that before? United looked poor for quite a while, so that remains to be seen. Lots of reports lately that McKenna's style is more suited to academy coaching, younger age groups than it is to first team football. So that's probably the main concern on how well he'll do at Ipswich.
Yeah, so that hence Joe's kind of trepidation, and yeah, it's worth saying this is his first job as the main man. But interesting the high press comment there, because Pert is number two fitness and conditioning coach, has got that background. So, and obviously Mark Ashton has recruited a big team which includes a lot of sports science as well. So it does feel like there's a team that's been formed here.
I don't know, Rich, what all your views on are. The thing I'm struggling with is the fact that he's simultaneously inexperienced and experienced. I don't quite know where I'm... Like, he's been working for 13 years and he's been around Spurs and Liverpool and he's worked with Jose Mourinho and Michael Carrick and Paul Pogba and, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo lately, you know, and yet he's never, you know, he's managed less games than Paul Hurst, you know.
But when you look at this sort of the other names, the managerial merry-go-round, I think... You look at McKenna, and it's definitely he's got a higher ceiling than any of them, effectively. When you look at Neil Harris, there's no chance Neil Harris is going to get a Premier League job.
He needs to go up with Cardiff, Joe.
Where McKenna is potentially could go all the way to the top. But the flip side of that is Neil Harris probably wasn't going to flame out and burn. And there's a chance that McKenna does that. But obviously that's not what any of us want to see or hope sees, but it's just that risk, isn't it? Higher ceiling, but a lower floor, isn't it? And I was fully advocating the higher ceiling approach on managers. I've sort of maybe got a little bit of cold feet in the last few games when you see what's going on with the squad, that maybe that is
never happy, Craig,
what we need at the moment. But delighted with the appointment, and delighted that we are taking a more modern approach. I felt that the recruitment in the summer was good in many ways, but messy in other ways, with regards to Cook having his say, Ashton having their say, and almost them just getting their contacts and agents and seeing what they could get through the door. It might not be ideal now, but it's going to be just Ashton leading the recruitment now. I can't imagine that McKenna's going to have much say in the recruitment side of things. He might be able to put his oar in, but he's not going to be like Paul Cook
working work for
his contacts and bringing people in like that. We needed to get that sorted. We needed to not be as messy on that side of it. So we'll see how that goes.
Get Tai Chong, please, Joe.
Yeah. Just quickly, Ipswich under-18s are currently in Youth Cup action. They were 2-0 down, but Ash Boatswain has just pulled one back in the 57th minute, so it's now 2-1.
Yeah, I mean, go on, Craig.
I was going to say, just in terms of, you talk about experience, bits and pieces like that, and we were just talking offline before we started, is that what you can't knock these guys for is the proactive steps that they've taken to, you know, get their own experience off their own backs, have they? If you, Pert, for example, has been all over Europe, he's been over to Mexico, he's been in the US, he's been to Canada. You know, these guys have got a lot of experience, not necessarily in terms of, you know, games managed on a sideline, but in terms of just overall experience of being in and around football and different types of football and structure, etc. You know, they've taken it upon themselves. They know what their goal is in terms of their careers, and they've gone out and off their own backs, you know, gone out to ensure that they can get the experience that they need. And I say that's one of the things that I'm hopeful, is that they're going to put absolutely everything into this. You know, this is their chance to you know, make a go of it, you know, to start a career in this. And as Joe said, in terms of ceiling, this could be the start of something from their perspective, not just our perspective, but from their perspective as well. And not wishing to demean anything and previous management regimes, but it may be that these are slightly more 24/7. Oh, yeah, you said it. I didn't.
Can I just tag on the end of that, Rich? And isn't that nice, Craig, when a lot of the time it's some guy who's been in work for 10 years and it's all, they're trying to time exactly right which, you know, they're unemployed and which job they're going to take back, as opposed to these kind of career guys who are not just trying to, because I know it's a lot of it is just timing, isn't it? But I do agree with you, this idea that, I don't know how to word this, that it's an actual profession as opposed to something you do just after you finish playing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, when you consider, and without sort of harking back to people, when you consider Gary Roberts, for example, who's 37 years old and hadn't even done his coaching badges, and it's like, oh, well, you can now be the coach in the first team. It's like, that shouldn't be how it was. That was wrong then and is wrong now. The players have to show a dedication to this. It's a craft. It's a profession. It's a trade. It's not a, oh, well, I've been around football all my life. I know how to set up some cones. Because I say, you see, I know people who've done these, even like the early courses, the like UEFA C courses, and they're like, when you actually have to set up a session for people, even with kids, and it's like, if you can't keep those kids occupied and busy, that they'll just, you've lost them straight away. And it's not as simple as just turning up and thinking you know what to do. And I say, for this guy, he's obviously no playing career of any note at all, really, was there? And at 31, he was promoted by Jose Mourinho, one of the sort of finest managers of the last 30 years. Yeah, maybe the last few years, he's not quite what he was, but he's still a manager that has totally changed the game, has won everything there is to win in the game. And he spotted him and brought him up with him at 30, 31 years old to coach the first team, coach world superstars earning literally hundreds of thousands of pounds a week. And he's presumably had their respect through the majority of that time.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. I'm going to move us on, guys, because we've got lots of comments. So we're not doing a podcast. We are doing a live show. So we want to hear from you. And we mentioned the coach's voice video. I don't know whether Craig and Joe have watched this, but first question or first point here, RJM23. Assume you've all watched that coach's voice interview. Hand on heart, did it seem like the inspiring character to get a performance from this group? And AD's kind of come in on that point. And do they need inspiring, or do they need to be coached? We forgot, and when we were talking about this last night, Ben, about the Barrow performance, it's just a team that was bereft of ideas or understanding tactically of what to do. But RJM's right in respect that Kieran McKenna needs to, he's going to be the one in giving the post-match interviews. He's the one who's going to be speaking to the press. Is that important, guys, for you? Or is it something he can learn? Ben, go for it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we just had a discussion about Steve Cooper is like a modern football manager now. He's not a ranty, ravey. He's very studious, very connected. Do you know what I mean? It's I know the guy's softly spoken or whatever. You know, most of these people who get in these management roles, you don't do it without any shred of charisma, do you? But yeah, it's the one that always comes up for charisma is Neil Warnock, just a man manager, isn't it? But I think that parlays into the conversation we just had about, you know, and I'm looking down at Carlos Corberon, Steve Cooper, Scott Parker, Ryan Lowe less so, but a lot more managers who are kind of up and coming are, they're not just the big charismatic, mouth, and that's great and it works, doesn't it? But no, I'm not sure it's a necessity now, is it?
It's about emotional intelligence now, isn't it? Like in any workplace, your emotional intelligence, how good you are at managing people, and it's not by being a brilliant man manager or this. It's about understanding people, understanding what they want, and
it's also inspiring. It's also inspiring by actions rather than words, isn't it? You know, yeah. If these guys come to work on the first day and everything's, you know, ridiculously professional and meticulous and on point and so detailed, it's unbelievable. They're going to be listening to him if he's talking to them in the monotonous drone, or if he's talking to them like a gregarious scouser or a, you know, outspoken Yorkshireman. It doesn't matter how it's coming across. If footballers can see that, you know, things are being done properly, I'm sure they'll listen to him.
And he's also, yesterday, was training Paul Pogba, Cristiano Ronaldo, and Bruno Fernandes. I'm not sure that sort of
Toto. Oh, Toto's going to get a mention, isn't he?
Listen, Carl. What I was saying to Jadon Sancho is you need to do this. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, and I wonder what I was going to ask this, and I don't want to spoil the comments because we've hardly got into them, but I just wanted to chuck this in there and interested to get views on this. Does this kind of represent a changing in the guard of this kind of charismatic focal point manager? I know things go in cycles, but this is the first time Ipswich have kind of gone down this route. But we've talked about Liam Manning and the links like that. Does it feel like, I don't want to say they're a dying breed, finally, not yet, but Warnock, the likes of Warnock, McCarthy, Pulis, are we likely to see their like again in a kind of modern way? Is it going to be this kind of coaching route?
I think so. I'm just looking down. Chris Wilder would be one. Paul Warne, even in this division's, you know,
I think there's a ceiling for the size of club or the setup. And as more and more of the bigger clubs, like we're probably one of the biggest clubs that hadn't gone down the sort of head coach, director of football, recruitment team, medical team sort of setup. We're probably one of the biggest teams that hasn't done that. We've done that now. And as it goes on, it will, more and more teams will do that. And they're not willing to hand over everything to a old school manager who knows what they're doing and can do a good job.
Even to Barles, who was with us last night. Hey, dudes.
He was on rampant form.
I think,
he?
Are you feeling better today, Barles, is what we all know. Tom is on the exercise bike. Rob, quite rightly, are you sure this is happening? Yeah, no. We hope so, Rob.
We're going to get our like Men in Black things out if it doesn't happen tomorrow and ping everyone's
What I'm going to do, Rob, is if it's someone else, I'm just going to go in and edit out the name here at McKenna and add in whoever it is and hope it's
it'll be like the, it'll be like The Simpsons, won't it? I'm very happy that Neil Critchley has joined Ipswich Town.
They've already clicked view as well on YouTube, so our work here is done, and we'll just do another video for the next guy.
We'll keep doing it until they sign on the line. Yeah,
I'm so happy that the young up and coming Neil Warnock has joined Ipswich Town
after recently working with Paul Pogba.
Neil Harris very highly.
Harrison's excited. That's the most important thing. After weeks of athlete, I'm unsure how to be. I think I'm excited. Exactly. Sorry. Don't want to go too far there. Rodders came out of the blue. Well, we were hearing whispers the last couple of days, weren't we? Someone on Twitter had been mentioning it. So, Skip, good to see
Joe
you.
Joe told us on blooming Tuesday, didn't he, for God's sakes?
Yeah, Twitter was kind of, there's always, depending on who you'd follow on Twitter, Skip's excited, building for the future with a bright, young, ambitious coach who has worked with world class players. Yeah, exactly right. Michael's on his patio in sunny Brisbane. Yeah, very good. Craig, most important out of them, Craig, why did England continually bowl short on that pitch in a day night test? Yes.
Because all they're concerned about, Andrew, is protecting their economy rate, isn't it? Because as soon as they pitch it up, they get driven. But obviously, you get driven for four, you've got more likely to get a snick to the keeper who subsequently drops it.
This is the wrong podcast for cricket. Is it?
They're protecting their averages, mate.
Ian, it's Daniel. Good to have you with us. You don't coach at one of the biggest clubs in the world without having something about you. Fingers crossed it works out for us. Stubbsy, similar to Joe. Excited but nervous. I think that sums up everyone's feelings. Is anyone like super confident, or has everyone got a little bit of?
Every appointment's got risk, isn't it? Doesn't matter if you're
especially for Ipswich. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, crikey, we've had Mick McCarthy with umpteen promotions,
we've
and Paul Hurst and Paul Lambert,
right,
and Paul Cook. They've all got promotions coming out their ears. It hasn't worked, has it? So.
Daryl's kind of suggesting similar, you know, give him a chance every other appointment over the last 10 years. And we have seemingly gone through all of the different permutations of managerial appointments, haven't we?
Well, I don't think we've ever done the sort of young up-and-coming appointment, because people say Paul Hurst was young up-and-coming, but he was 45 and had managed 500 games.
Flashing a pan.
But this guy is, we're giving somebody young a chance. And when you look at our best managers in history, Sir Ralph Ramsey, Sir Bobby Robson, George Burley, what had they done before they came here?
Yep. Well, I suppose the closest is Magilton, but Magilton didn't have any experience, any coaching experience, did he? Of any, youth.
But Craig, he'd also been in the club for. He had that advantage.
Yeah.
A
Neil Harris type Millwall scenario, wasn't it? I suppose.
Lee wants puns. I'm not sure. I think we've done the Paul McKenna stuff. I think that's it. I'm all run out, Lee. Unless there's something I'm missing. Yeah.
Nice.
Voice. Listen to the sound of my
Paul
voice.
Paul Cooper's red goalkeeping top.
Yeah, there we go. Poor Bono, Mark, I'll get this in there early. I never, ever want to go to Barrow Furnace ever again. There you go, poor guy. Oh, man.
Speaking of that normaliser thing, Craig, yeah?
at least he ticked a new ground off.
There you
exactly
go.
Right there.
And when they get relegated this year, it won't count.
Can we just all I agree with Charlie? Anyone who was up there last night, well done. That is take a bow.
Apart from those people who live relatively local and have a short trip there. If you live in Carlisle, you should have been there. Anyway.
Shouldn't even have gone. You don't deserve to. Took up the place of someone who could have gone 400 miles.
Didn't even
Joe.
Get the free bus, did they, Jay? Jules,
they came all the way down here to get the free bus. There and back to then drive back.
And went to work today.
Jumped on a plane to go
picked
home.
Picked up
yeah.
the car and drove back again.
So you tweeted a picture of this gentleman earlier on. Evening to Jules. Is Jim Magilton on his way back? Yeah. Your photo, was that your photo? Or you know?
I did tweet that one as well. Yeah. They've obviously got a relationship.
Director of football?
I'm sure Jim would love to get back. It wouldn't surprise me if it's in some sort of mentoring role, as in maybe not an official one, but
Peter Reid.
But Jim has been a very important figure in the Northern Irish football for a long time now. He's sort of their development programs, their pathways. He set a lot of that up. So it's a case that he could well be. I'm sure that someone Kieran McKenna has spoken to, but whether it's going to lead to anything, we don't know. But I'm sure we'd all love to see him back.
Yep. And it feels like that there's some karmic retribution that's needed after the way he left as well. Gary Haseman, thank you so much for the super chat. Gary.
All right, Gary. Thank you.
Everyone's feeling the love at the moment, and we appreciate that. If you want to do that, if you're on YouTube, there's a little super chat button in there if you want to do that. Otherwise, head to our website. All the fun stuff is usually on there, including other ways to donate to the channel as well. BlueMondayITFC.co.uk.
I think they'll see Magilton as too big a character to find a space for. Reid, he's at the end of his career and at that point where you'd want to do consulting. I'd like to see him around, but I think maybe the mentoring side. I don't know.
I think that's George. That's probably what we're thinking. It's a little bit of a convenient link as opposed
to
one that's
together in 100, isn't it?
Yeah. Rob, this is a really important point. The word in caps there. An extreme amount of patience from the fans. Not sure how much is left in the tank for a new rebuild. Could go wonky. Craig, are we a fan base that is... I mean, historically, we've been patient. The owners have been. Are we now feeling patient in League One? Can we be?
I don't think it... Crikey, this is a sweeping statement. I don't think Ipswich fans are stupid. If they can see elements of progress and can see, you know, things are happening, however quickly or slowly it is, I think they will give the guy time. You know, we're not bringing in a promotion specialist. We're bringing in a guy who's in his first gig. So, you know, we're all in this together from the very, very beginning, including himself. So, you know, I was willing to give Cook a little bit more time. So I'm more than willing to give this guy as much time as he wants, really. To say he's long. You know, I'm just intrigued to see his style, his formation, because we don't know, do we? We don't know anything about this guy whatsoever. Styles, formations, how he sets up, how
fluid he is. Hopefully someone that looks at what the players he's got is. And...
Yeah.
It does sound during like matches. Is sorry, Craig. I'm just enjoying evolving Photons as a username, but also he's not called Paul. It's too radical, never work, will ruin his career. It sounded like, and reading into you, I think Chris Rand forwarded me that McKenna builds training sessions around the players. He understands the players. Ben used the word empathy. It does feel to me that he's a manager that understands what the players need and has a view for what the players can develop to do as well, which I think is going to need time, but also at least it's just as a plan.
And what was also interesting, actually, I was reading one of the Man U articles from whenever, and they were saying that, you know, in X amount of matches, they played 4-2-3-1. In certain matches, they played 3 at the back. In other matches, they were playing 4-3-3. And what's always a good indicator is how switched on you are during matches and changes and tweaks and bits and pieces like that. But obviously, by the same token, if you've got Paul Pogba, et cetera, playing for your team, it's probably easier to coach them into different formations. If you've got 20 League One players, you probably want to keep things relatively simple and straightforward without any disrespect to the players we've got.
Are you saying Scott Fraser's not as good as Paul Pogba, Craig?
Not last night, he wasn't.
I'm not having it. I'm not having that. I'm not having it. No. End the
not
pod.
For the first 45 last night, no.
Joe, you mentioned signings in the summer. Andrew's question here, which players do you think will go and what positions do we need to fill? I guess to Craig's point, we don't really know the system.
No, I think it's all back up in the air now, isn't it? Because you'd have probably said someone like Scott Fraser is a player that could have been moved on because he's not really got a role in the side. But if we play with two number eights in a 4-3-3, then he's probably going to be into the team and contributing and could be there. Whereas someone like Sam Morsy, for example, who's seen as the key midfielder, may not have the sort of role in the team. So we are really just wait and see now, really.
Thoughts here, Ben? Go on. Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say, I'm not a contract law expert. Will any player have a break clause in his contract attached to Paul Cook?
No.
You wouldn't have thought?
Yeah. No.
I don't think such a thing. It seems weird, doesn't it? I don't think the club would entertain that either because it would risk
out of their control. Yeah.
This is an interesting one from Dave. I feel that the players need to be enthused, educated, and inspired by new modern ways of coaching and tactical analysis. And that's the type of performance away from the old-fashioned manager type and the kind of the big focal point, the big shouty person. Thoughts, guys, Ben, on whether players, particularly at this level, might need inspiring in different ways other than a kick up the arse and the hairdryer treatment, perhaps?
Well, what we do know for definite about this squad of players is that they didn't respond to the idea of this philosophy-driven thing where if you crack this philosophy of the 4-2-3-1, quick on transition, fullbacks forward, physical number 10, everything we knew about Paul Cook before he arrived, we know that the players probably, from what I can see of the makeup of the squad, would respond better to, oh, maybe we're going to try this, maybe we're going to try this. And there being a little bit more freedom in terms of the setup. I know, and I do accept the argument, Rich, from all of the people that say 20 more games and they would have got it. I do accept that argument, but I also accept the argument they were never going to get it and they weren't getting it. We'll never know. That's a parallel universe, that one, isn't it? But yeah, I think, and let's be honest, we're all very reactionary, aren't we? Everyone when they split up with a girl, the next girlfriend is the complete opposite of the previous girl, aren't they? So everyone's now talking after years about knocking the ball about being more direct now, you know, and it's the assistant manager, and then the squad's not good enough all of a sudden, and all of this stuff. So everyone's trying to put their finger on sort of what's wrong. And maybe I'm doing that a little bit in saying, you know, could there be a few more strings to the bow? And I like Joe's comparison with, you know, Burley moving from just moving the left back forward and going 4-4, you know, simple in-game stuff like that. And, you know, a few more different ideas to present the opposing managers with.
Mm. This is an interesting one from Tom. Craig, does his age impact how he sees us in terms of size of club? He was 15 when we were last in the Prem. And is this a good thing? We are a League One side, whether we like it or not. Is he going to be excited by the corridor of framed pictures and the statues outside the ground?
Well, I reckon, unlike Lambert and Cook, I don't suppose he can name the 81 UEFA starting 11.
He can't name Steve Whitten's 91-92 championship winning team either, Craig.
Well, I could do a quiz here with you three to find out if that's the case. But I don't know. I think he knows people within the football industry, and I'm sure they'll tell him that, you know, the size of the club that we could potentially be. And you know, what I'd like to know actually is, did we headhunt him, or did he did he apply, or was it, you know, were we led to believe that he was available? Should we come knocking, sort of thing? I'd like to know, and we may well find out as and when we get to hear from Mark Ashton as to the process and the steps by which he's acquired the job.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever find out properly in it, but I think he's going to realise the size of the club we've got here, because he's somebody who's been in the game for 20 years. He's probably, if he was at Tottenham as a young player, that'd have been at the time when we were. So I don't know who's a similar age, that sort of player like here, sort of like the Ian Westlakes and Darren Bents, Darren Ambrose, is that sort of age group. So he'd have been playing against us all through those age groups when we were there. Worked with Brian Clough. You got 28,000 tickets sold for Saturday. He'll know the size of the budget. I'm sure he's getting a good wage as well to come here as well. So he knows he's not walking into Salford City or somewhere like that, doesn't he?
Yep. Ben?
Yeah, on the timeline thing, just to try and go to what Craig said, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was sacked on the 22nd of November, which was the Monday. Paul Cook was sacked on the 6th of December. So if you do want to put your conspiracy theory hat on, if someone was known to somebody and all of a sudden that somebody knew they were going to be out of a job, then perhaps the somebody who's currently in a job might have been removed on the base. It's all, but then it's taken 2 weeks, hasn't it? So we don't know. But he was, his boss essentially had been fired, 10 days before Paul Cook's fired. Hmm.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
But just but also, in that regard as well, though, he wanted to stay. Ralph Rangnick wanted to keep him at Man United.
That's true.
Thinking in terms of Milton Keynes, when they got Manning in, they had their own... Basically, they scouted their manager, didn't they, and brought him in, went out and actively got a guy in who they knew would come and slot into there. So I'm just wondering whether we went out and thought, right, well, these are our... top three choices, or whether we just wait to see who applied and pick from there, which we
doesn't sound like us, Greg. It doesn't sound like us.
That's one thing that sort of not concerns me, but when you look that obviously Neil Harris is somebody who's obviously had at least an interview, a couple of interviews, seen as one of the favourites of the job, and sort of I know from people that have spoken to him that he's very keen on the job and has been spoken to. How do you have a recruitment process that ends up with Neil Harris and Kieran McKenna in it? They're two totally different characters. It's like, if you're appointing someone, sure, you'd hope you'd focus
that,
in on...
Joe, sorry.
Yeah, personally, I think if you want a head coach, you focus in on a head coach. You don't allow your recruitment process to be disrupted by somebody who ends up being a better candidate and you going away from what you think is the right path to go down.
But sometimes you can be persuaded of what you don't want by seeing it.
Harris might have had a vision.
I don't know.
Ashton did say that, to be fair, didn't he? At the very beginning, he said, look, we're going with an open mind, blah, blah, blah. You know, we'll see who applies and take it from there. Search.
It does feel like that I wouldn't be – certainly Martin Pert, I wouldn't be surprised if Game Changer have had – they've met in a football expo or something like that in the past. It'd be surprising. Obviously, Ashton's come across him at Watford as well. So, yeah, interesting to get your thoughts on this one, Ben.
Just quickly, what was interesting actually about Pert is he was in the group of guys that Coochie was going to bring with him, wasn't he? In the first time round when Coochie first applied, he was the fitness guy that he was lined up to come along with him then. So
there you go. Blast in the past there. Ben, I'm going to put this one to you because you watched a lot of this. Chris Nunn, will this lead to Man United loans coming in next year, much like Lampard at Derby with Chelsea players?
Just quickly, I'll add something on this. I was listening to the Darren McAnthony podcast last week, and he was talking about when Darren Ferguson was the manager, and he said that they didn't even get a discount on Man United youth players to Darren Ferguson because Alex Ferguson has got a boss and he can't dictate that they get it for less than that, and it was always 50 grand plus 100% of their wages, and if they weren't paying it, someone else would. So if Darren Ferguson isn't getting favours from Alex Ferguson, I can't imagine Kieran McKenna's going to get them from Ralph Rangnick.
I guess if they got a choice, Joe, they're more like odds are better now than they might have
been before. Like you've obviously got the connections there, but you are going to have to, you're not going to get, like when Derby got Mason Mount, for example, you're not going to get players of that quality dropping down just to work with the coach.
Has anyone mentioned how well Trevor Chalobah is doing, just as an aside?
Great to see, isn't it?
Brilliant.
It'll be in the England squad soon.
Yeah, I love that.
Especially if we keep playing it back three. Rich, can I just quickly come in? Sometimes it's who's available, and I've just quickly jotted down the Championship managers that came out of jobs this season. So who came up? Chris Hughton, Neil Warnock, Slavisa Jokanovic, Frankie McAvoy, Mick McCarthy and Marcus Schopp. So in deference to the Ipswich board, who came out, probably Alex Neil's a better bet than all of them, and Neil Harris last year. No one came out of a job that would have been a desirable candidate from the Championship. That might be something to factor in.
The managerial merry-go-round is tending to a managerial death slide, maybe. I don't know. This is an interesting one from Kev. Worth plugging. Obviously, we'll be back for the pre-match show, also live tomorrow night. We'll obviously keep an eye on something. Could Saturday be postponed? Not a bad thing, though, maybe. And of course, I wish you all the best for this weekend. Kev, obviously, a Sunderland fan, I guess. We're not hearing anything at the moment, though. Hopefully, it won't be at the 11th hour if you're travelling down, Kev. But
I think we've got some issues with the under-23s, haven't we? But I think the first is relatively uncertain.
But when there was a comment from Terry Butcher yesterday saying Cameron Humphreys has been in contact, he's playing for the under-18s tonight, so he must be clear of it now.
And I think the EFL came out today and said if you've got 14 players available to play, including a goalkeeper, you've got to fulfil your fixture. Yeah. 14 out of your 22, 23.
That's mental. Yeah. Because you can invent an injury to put that over the net. I'm not suggesting any club has done that, but.
But we've got about 48 players. We'd have to have the world's biggest. We'd have to sort of drop the squad into Wuhan for a pre-season tour.
Into town. Big red cross on the big red cross on the front of Portman Road gates.
To just spinning Kev's point around into a bit of a question back to you guys, Joe, would none of us want games cancelled? And obviously, none of us want to get sick either. It's obviously a very scary time for lots of us, including footballers as well. But would a few weeks off really be helpful for Kieran McKenna if he was appointed tomorrow? It kind of would, wouldn't it?
I suppose it depends in which respect. If Sunderland have a COVID outbreak and can't play, but we have no cases, then yes. But if we've got 10 of our squad out with it, then it becomes a waste of time on that side of it. So fingers crossed we don't have games cancelled, but it does feel like an inevitability that over the Christmas break something will. Gillingham have cancelled their game this weekend. We're playing them on Boxing Day. Is that game going to go ahead? Is Steve Evans going to forsake his second helping of Christmas dinner to get the to get the game on?
So unnecessary, isn't it? It's so satisfying.
Moving on, swiftly, Peter Collins, the unknown is exciting. Something we haven't experienced for a long, long time. We'll be fully behind him as usual. Yeah, I mean, that's a big point by Peter there, because me and Ben talk about these kind of things. Change isn't something that everyone rushes towards. Some people fear change. But as Ipswich Town supporters, keyword supporters, it's that last point is really vital there. Regardless of our personal prejudice or perspectives or opinions of him now, once he's appointed Ipswich Town manager, we do have to get fully behind him, don't we, guys? I mean,
he's coming in with no baggage, though, is he? If anyone's potential reluctance is going to be of the unknown, it's not something that you've already made your mind up about him, because he hasn't been at Millwall and played long ball, or he hasn't been at Plymouth and done X, Y, Z. If you know what I mean, he's coming in and nobody knows much about him at all. So hopefully, everyone's going in with the same open mind and intrigue to see how it pans out.
My Northern Irish accent, I can only say one word with a Northern Irish
Gemma Jelten.
it's noi, as in now. Noi. I want us to be in the championship.
Noi.
Noi.
You need to start watching Line of Duty to practice on.
Or
going up the Liffey in a bubble and things like that.
Jim McDonald in Coronation Street. He was good, wasn't he?
There you go. I'll start. I'll get on it. I'll work on it.
Check out our trilogy.
Scouse to Northern Irish.
Was it four interviews with Jimmy Jilton or three?
Yeah, four.
A lot of talk in a Northern Irish accent.
Kieran McKenna's been over here for quite a while. He hasn't really got much of an accent from that coach's voice. It's more of a subtle. So I'll get Gary to your point. I will get working on that. Michael's wishful thinking. Or it's not. Is it wishful thinking? Is he going to watch from the stands on Saturday? We're 2-0 down. Comes into the dressing room. Were you in 8-2?
Like Steve McLaren.
I can't see that happening, but never know.
The under-18s have just gone 3-1 down. It's a. The update from Spurs says we've withstood some Ipswich set pieces. Now we extend our lead. So it sounds like we were pushing and pushing for that equaliser, but
countered.
Unfortunately, haven't got it.
It's worth just for balance that there are folk out there more on the trepidatious scale than there is on the kind of I'm up for this kind of thing. Even into Cali. He's got a bit of a fear. It's the right appointment at the wrong time. Folks talked about Sir Bobby and Sir Ralph, but they didn't have instant success. He wants out of League One this year. There'll be people who
can I just say advice. With Go on. People say, oh, Sir Bobby and Sir Ralph didn't have instant success. Bobby Robson came in when we were in the relegation zone. In his first 8 games, beat Arsenal, beat Tottenham, beat Man City, moved us up to the middle of the table, and then we stayed up. In Sir Ralph Ramsey's first season after relegation, we came third. The next season, we came first, got promoted. The year after that, we came eighth. People talk about not having instant success, but they did have instant success. They did get their feet under the table.
Translation.
Yeah, they might have come back from that. Same when people talk about Alex Ferguson at Man United. Oh, well, he nearly got sacked. Well, he came in when they were 21st. They finished 11th that year. The next season, they finished second. Yeah, the next season, they'd gone downhill. But he did get some credit in the bank. And I think that's what people go on about. That, oh, you can't sack a manager just for starting badly in Paul Cook's case. All these managers get credit in the bank first. Probably the only one from our memory that didn't was George Burley to an extent, but that's because he came in to coach sort of the worst team in almost Premier League history when he came in at Christmas, and we were already relegated at Christmas. But his job wasn't sort of to keep us up that year. It was to start building from there. So I do just think that people seem to think, oh, just because players went down from there, it was tough. Oh, good to see Ram here.
No, I don't endorse that comment. It's a bad comment, Ram.
And it's really important to know that I didn't press the buttons there either.
No, that was me. Yeah, that was
I wouldn't
me.
Have put that up there. I'm not. I don't want to stroke Joe's ego any more than it. Anyway,
I'm causing trouble.
Hands up. Hands. Yeah, keep the hands up, then, no, Jake. That's fine. This is interesting from HCH. Ashton O'Leary driving. We assume the driving force behind the process of making recommendations. Do you think this is a real gamble for them in terms of their standing? I wonder whether guys, Craig or anyone, I'm trying to give you all a chance, but whether the Americaners might have had a role in this appointment. The idea that they are silent benefactors who aren't taking an interest in what's going on or aware of what happens at Vancouver Whitecaps or Man United. I wonder whether the board were part of the process, guys. We're only speculating. None of us in the room, are we? But I'd be surprised.
I think they've put their trust fully on O'Leary and Ashton to run the club on their behalf, haven't they? This is obviously big from Ashton's perspective. It's his first managerial appointment. So to a certain extent, it's sink or swim. And he's going to be pretty desperate for this one to work out. As we were saying, I think as Ben has said in his piece this afternoon, his channel is that now we always got the inkling that Paul Cook. Well, we knew Paul Cook wasn't their man, and it was an easy get out to give him the sack. But I say this is their the first one of the game changer era, a permanent appointment, isn't it?
To be fair, Craig, when Paul Cook was sacked and Mark Ashton did the interview on Monday, the board had given him carte blanche to say the board unanimously decided that. So they did kind of give him the support the other end, didn't they? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, yeah. But I'm saying they wouldn't have come up with the thought of hiring Kieran McKenna and Mark, please.
Are they over here now, the owners? I know they're due to be over for the game, but we haven't heard anything.
We don't know. I mean,
we didn't know Brett Johnson was here before, did we? They may well be here squirreled away somewhere.
Yeah, we need to keep an eye on things, aren't we? I might have lost the comment. Someone's saying five games in the championship, five games in League One already off. So,
yeah
skips.
If we were a bigger club, Richard, there would be someone on Twitter, you know, where they follow the aeroplanes and they've got the app.
Flight scanner.
You know, when Robin Cox signed for Leeds and all the Leeds fans knew what flight he was on, for God's sake.
He was on
the
private jet.
We're just not massive enough, despite the fact that we're clearly entitled and believe we have a divine right to win everything and terrible people.
Oh, Andrew Nichols is doing my job for me. Hit that like button. Doesn't cost anything. Thank you, guys. Lots of kind words. Appreciate that. We're doing our best. And we are. I really hope that he gets appointed, as we said earlier tomorrow morning. Well, we're all here. We're all having fun, aren't we? I don't even care.
What are you going to do on a Thursday night?
Exactly.
Matches are being called off. You can't watch any football. They're all being postponed.
Yep. I'm gonna do not want to get in trouble. Even to David, who was also with us yesterday.
A legend yesterday, wasn't he?
Yeah, I'm not going to go there, David. I don't embarrass myself any more than
I've
already
got a good Friday agreement to think about. We don't.
Oh, come on, Joe.
Ian Paisley, mate?
Don't get the politics out. I'm not. Oh, Ben's gone. Ben's got out. I can't do anything. I'm stuck. These are the comments of our individual contributors, not Blue Monday podcast, etc. Ashley, yes, moving on. If he's announced tomorrow, will he be in the dugout? I'd be surprised. Ashley, anyone got any different views to that one?
You wouldn't want your name anywhere near the performance on Saturday, would you? If you're joining tomorrow.
No, I think we expect. Although,
By the same token, like Paul Cook wasn't in the dugout for Accrington, was he? But you could still hear him calling the Accrington right back and effing C for most of the match, couldn't you? I can't imagine that's Kieran McKenna's style. I hope, it might be.
The funny one was Barnsley hiring Poya Asbaghi before playing Fulham away. They're like, I swear they hired him on Wednesday or something. They're like, right, can start on Monday, but take training for the next week. We'll pretend you're not the manager and then you don't have to lose at Fulham. And that should be a bit different for us.
Win ratio to start off with, yeah.
Yeah, he won't be in the dugout, will he?
I'm going to put this up very quickly and then I'm going to take it down. It's worth just noting we've got some bits and pieces coming. We'll stick around as long as you guys are. So get your thought. If you haven't had your comment read out, it's either because I've been too quick skimming through or you said something offensive or was praising Joe unnecessarily. So there's plenty of time for more comments. We want to hear from you on this. David is at it again, Ben. What an absolute hero.
David, what a hero.
That mug will sort you out. Maybe two.
Thank you, David. Amazing. Appreciate
that. Thank you so much for that. Here we go. Has Joe ever been closer to an ITFC first team look like? It's Morty from Sindre.
I'll take it. It's because I've got this shirt on. It's almost bringing out the sort of Arab in me.
The Egyptian in you, yeah.
Oh. Walk like Joe Fair.
My grandma was actually born in Cairo, so I might be eligible for the Egyptian national team like Sam Morsi, but I
David Diamond would sing Night Boat to Cairo. Now I won't.
Yeah, so I do have some Egyptian heritage there.
Yeah. I really just do some plugs and then we'll do last kind of 10 minutes of comments and observations and all that kind of stuff. BlueMondayITFC.co.uk is where you can find all our deets, all of our socials, all of our podcast and YouTube feeds. We've got podcast apps coming out of our ears. So whatever your podcast vehicle of choice is, then we've got something for you, is what I'm saying. Routes to donate if you want to do that. Obviously, we put this out for free. We love what we do, and we'll never charge you for it as do a subscription jobby. But the donations do help us do more. It does allow us to kind of, it might allow us to do stuff like merch and all that kind of fun stuff as well. So we appreciate that. We really do, but we don't expect it. We are honoured and humbled that you join us, and that's enough for us. We are back for the pre-match show, Sunderland edition, if it is happening. Hopefully it is happening. On Saturday, Seb and I will be back tomorrow for that flagship show. We'll be back on Monday morning at the usual time as well. We'll be talking about Sunderland, hopefully, and Kieran McKenna's amazing dash down to the dressing room at halftime to manage to conspire out of nowhere an 8-2 victory, as per Michael's prediction there. We'll be back on Monday for that. And we'll let you know what we're doing about Christmas as well, because obviously a tricky time, and we'll try and get some stuff out there so you've got some stuff to listen to. Ben's stretching. He's ready for the final stretch, literally. There we go. Boom. But yeah, that's where you can find all of our stuff. So do get involved. Let's head back to the comments. John, thank you very much. John, evening to you.
Just a quick one. Is he not going to be the youngest manager in the Football League?
I don't know.
How old's Rooney?
Yeah,
he's past 35, isn't he?
How old's Rooney? Someone will tell us in the comments.
I'm sure. I read it on Twitter earlier, so, you know.
I think Rooney is older than him because he's October 85, where Poyet, he's
Aspar,
May 86.
He is 36, so, yeah he's younger than him.
May 86. He was born about a week after I turned 11.
Just after he got relegated from the first division.
How old was Magilton, to Chris's point here, when he was appointed?
I think he's about 37.
Yeah, 36, 37,
yeah.
The chicken song was number one, if that's any help to anyone.
Brilliant. Yeah. Chris, happy with a different approach. The tried and tested route not worked for us with the last three. Night Boat is a classic, says Rodders. There you go. We've got Jeff on, I assume is a Macam. There with his red and white. We welcome supporters of all clubs, as long as you're respectful and want to talk about Kieran McKenna. You're very welcome to join us. But come back for tomorrow's chat on Sunderland if you want, Friday night, in the same place. Interesting thought from Robert here. Slightly different tact. Christian Walton, lots of chat about him. It sounds like he's going to go back to Brighton, doesn't it, guys? Who wants to?
Isn't there a big link with a Championship gig?
Yeah, Peterborough as well. I think it is.
Yeah,
it'd be a shame, wouldn't it? Interview with a first team player and he left in January.
We scared him off.
We don't know what sort of keeper McKenna wants, because as good as Walton has been, his kicking is not incredible, is it? He's not a modern with your feet keeper, and that might be what he wants. But hopefully Walton can stay for at least till the end of the season, because he's done really well so far, and he's a solid player. First name. You don't need to worry with him in goal, do you? You know you're going to get a solid performance out of him every week. So,
to be fair, regardless of what type of keeper he wants, he probably wants one that comes across and keeps the ball out of his net more often than not, which is what he does above the other two, doesn't he?
Mm. Job number one. And don't burn our bridges, Craig, please. Davey, a friend, ran his coaching badges at St. George's Park. He is the type of guy who doesn't speak too much. He's a decent coach, really good technical knowledge. That sounds promising and kind of chimes with our understanding of him, doesn't it?
Yeah, there was in one of the Athletic articles, I think by Laurie Whitwell, he was talking about Kieran McKenna at St George's Park and one of the coaches there. And they basically said that in every session, he was the one that would link every point. He'd slow the session down to make sure that he could get the point linked to a real life example of it. And he was the one, like, he wasn't shy about standing up for himself and talking and saying anything to anyone. And I suppose you've got to be if you're from his background and coaching where he was coaching.
Liam Manning, 20th of August, 1985. Now, he's 36 as well. So yeah, I still have, I've been doing this for about 5 minutes. I still haven't found anyone younger.
As Joe would say, they're in the same school year.
Did you get that super sticker, Richard?
I just clocked that. MW, thank you so much. Merry Christmas, one and all. God bless you. God bless us, every one of us. We want that. Lee wants a Christmas Day pod, guys. we can pre-record one, Lee.
Yeah. Three sheets. Do one about 8 o'clock Christmas evening.
I could tell you about the tactical system of where I'm putting each bit of my Christmas lunch.
Do you remember when it was 2014 when Brazil lost 7-1 to Germany? The Football Ramble put out a podcast which was just Pete Donaldson just going shit. And that was the podcast. Maybe we could put that out, something equivalent on.
We'll get Dave doing a 1 hour long cry. Yeah, we'll do that.
That'd be Boxing Day morning, mate, probably.
Who will be our Paul Pogba? you'll be my Paul, I'll be your Kieran. Carl Robinson was 30 when he started at MK, according to Chris. There we go. Ashley, could McKenna be the man to get the best out of Hladky? Well, yeah, there's no reason to think why he couldn't be. I don't know. He needs a goalkeeper coach, though, doesn't he, guys? Is your man Craig in the prime spot?
Maybe? Yeah, who knows? Yeah, he was on the bench yesterday. I noticed as well, Carl, the goalkeeper coach.
It's that clean slate thing, though, isn't it? When a new boss comes in, you're going to training not thinking, right, this manager's never going to play me.
Again, last night, the guy in the yellow brogues was in the tunnel. Did everyone see that? I don't know if he's wearing his yellow brogues, but he was there again. I don't know. He's not doing much.
What he does?
Not doing much. Well, I know what he's not doing. He's not making us win many matches. but he was there again last night. So he's obviously an Ashton appointment rather than a Cook appointment. I just don't know. Someone needs to find out what he is and what he does.
Dave Court, Pogba's out of contract this summer, isn't he? Yeah, here we go.
Get him in.
Start the transfer rumours right now. Bring him in as a goalkeeper coach.
On the phone.
Oh, yeah.
He's cut the deal. Be more than a turnover.
There we go. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate
that. Go on, Jeff.
What else have we got here?
We've got, just to talk about Sunderland, we've got this little enclave in Brighton, so you have Sunderland fans.
What's an enclave, Craig?
Little group.
Niche.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got about three or four Sunderland fans, two different families don't know why.
John's question here, guys, talking about football, sorry. Surely a key for McKennie is getting the best out of the key players. Morsey in particular, anyone want to talk about that? We have talked about what might inspire those key players, whether it's if it is McKenna, he's going to inspire them.
And as Joe said, we don't know who our key players are going to be, do we? Until such time as we know
the key players.
What sort of formation sort of formations we'll be playing and what sort of style we'll be playing. As we said earlier, it could be Scott Fraser, who's all of a sudden going to become
Ben.
There's two ways where it's really easy to play central defensive midfield. One is if you're attacking all the time and you don't have anything to do. Or two, if you're like Mick used to do, you're set up in a certain way. So with someone like Sam Morsy, he's almost a barometer. The less he's doing, probably the better we're playing. If he's just having to sweep up, get that ball out to more creative players. And like, for example, yesterday when we're playing atrociously badly and the closest we get to a goal is him picking up the ball 40 yards from goal, taking it 20 yards from goal and having a shot. That's not how we want to use Sam Morsy. He wants to be, you know, that can be a good canary in a coal mine for how well we're playing Sam Morsy. And if we're totally relying on him, we're probably not very good.
If Sam Moores is having your only shot of the match, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And your best ball carrier.
And to Chris's point here, all managers have players they love and who really want to follow them in return. It'll be fascinating to see who McKenna's linked to.
Can we just talk about Chris's picture? Is that him in the picture? Can he fly?
Chris, can you fly?
Can you fly?
Or is that just a really good outfit for doing
some PA work outside the Cambridge show or something like that. Joe, one thing we haven't talked about, hasn't come up in the comments, which I'm interested to get your views on. Obviously, McKenna has come through as an academy coach. You've asked Mark Ashton twice about no, says Chris, unfortunately. Never mind. we still love you.
That's that sorted then, Chris, isn't
it? No. you asked Mark Ashton twice at these supporters Q&As about the status of the academy and all that kind of stuff. Are you more comfortable with the like of McKenna in charge and that pathway to the academy being there? Does that give you any confidence?
Yeah, well, I think also when you listen to what Gary Probert has said, who's the sort of director of football operations, and the fact that Leo Neal's back in the academy manager role, you'd hope that there is a real look at that. I know at the moment things had to be focused on the first team, getting out of this league, but you can't just look purely at the short term. You've got to look at the longer term. And we've got some good players in the academy. Like the first, we have just lost to Tottenham. I'm sort of disappointed to tell everyone, but it was 3-1 and we missed a penalty in the 90th minute, which could have 6 minutes of injury time to come after. But there's players in there that they're very excited about, the sort of group of first year scholars at the moment. It's a team that have been there a long time, and it's important. And there will be, like I say, I know, I'm pretty sure that Cameron Humphreys is someone that the new lot have come in, the Gary Probert, people like that, are someone that they want to push into the first team. And that might be why he's been there the last couple of games and came on as sub at Charlton and in the first FA Cup game against Barrow, that he's just doing all he can to get on. And like I say, we need to, the squad is not in a brilliantly organised place. It's a bit messy at the moment and needs to sort itself out. And hopefully in time, as it sorts itself out, it sorts itself out with the younger players coming through into that as well.
Yep.
Kieran McKenna doesn't scan very well into boring football chants, does it? And I've literally got Copacabana in my head. Head up at Kieran. Kieran McKenna.
Kieran McKenna.
Oh, God.
More royalties to the white stripes.
Which one of your
Patriarchs, McKenna is our king.
Yeah, but make it really not scan. That's my favourite. Yeah, we'll see what the North Stand comes up with.
If someone's got an original McKenna chant, we want to hear it now.
We'll do about putting the word O in front of his first name to make up the extra syllable.
Yeah. We will go for another couple of moments when it's on. There must be something exciting.
One thing that I've seen come up a couple of times, who's leading us into the game on Saturday. If McKenna's appointed tomorrow,
it'll be McGreal, I want
it. It's going to be McGreal, isn't it? You'd imagine.
Ashley's point, he won't be in the dugout, will he? So it'll be McGreal, almost certainly, won't it? Yeah. What question from Lee here. Do you think he'll get a war chest from January? I suspect probably.
Can we tell Lee, I've previously banned the term war chest from the podcast.
I know you like it.
He is obviously.
Glossaries.
Yeah, he's obviously in the chat, Craig. So
Ben's shit list is back.
Lee's allowed to say it, but no one here is allowed to say war chest. Even though I've said it twice now, haven't I?
Yeah.
War chest. We don't need, Lee, we don't need to sign any more players, do we?
Skip tried. He did try. ever so hard.
We need to work out what we've got ahead of the summer, don't we? There might be a couple in, couple out, but...
Oh, so, someone's saying announced.
Is it announced?
No, let's do a pod.
Right. Yes. It's announced.
It's announced at 9 o'clock. Is that why everyone's gone?
Can you get Twitter up on the other screen?
I was just going to get the Ipswich website up.
Yeah, get the Ipswich website up. Yes.
But little do they know, we've got a guest speaker now just about to join us. Kieran, can you hear us?
Here he is.
Right, retweet everybody.
There we go. We preempted
it. Arrives as assistant manager.
And an assistant manager? Oh,
there we go.
Hang on. Read away, Richard.
Right. Martin Pertz arrives as Kieran McKenna, new manager of Ipswich Town Football Club. The Northern Irishman, who joins from Manchester United, where his first team coach has signed a 3.5-year deal at Pound Road and becomes the 19th manager in the club's history. Kieran works under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, helping them to the team to consecutive third and second place finishes in the Premier League, respectively. He stayed at Old Trafford following the arrival of Thor Ragnarok as a key member of the new interim manager's backroom staff. Lots of stuff there. Has he got a quote? Yes. No, I don't think he has got a quote. Kieran and Martin arrive at town ready for a new challenge and will take the reins of the Blues for the first team on Monday. I'd like to thank Mark Ashton and the owners for their faith in me.
Tread very carefully, Rich.
Very carefully. The cancel button is lurking.
But it was respectful. Martin to take the club forward, leaving a club
that doesn't matter.
Was obviously a difficult decision, but I strongly believe in the opportunity to build something here. It feels like the right time, project and club, to make my first step into first team management.
Is but project now, not on the shit list yet, Ben?
Oh, it might be now.
You're on the shit list.
Yeah. Leave me to it.
No, you are.
For now, everyone's on the shit list. For now, the focus for the team has to be a huge game on Saturday. After that, I cannot wait to meet everyone and get to work. I'm delighted. Oh, this is now Mark Ashton, I think. I'm delighted. I could do a West Midlands accent. That's no bother at all. I'm delighted to officially welcome Kieran and Martin to the club. Kieran is a highly respected young coach who has been working at the top level of English football and with one of the biggest clubs in the world, in world football, for a number of years in Man United. He comes to the club with a pedigree chum within the game and with exciting plans about how he's going to take the team forward. When we met, there was a clear meeting of minds in terms of how we will execute this vision for the football club. I'd like to reiterate my thanks to John McGreal, Kieran Dyer, Gil Martin, Carl Petney for stepping up. They will remain in charge for Sunderland. Finally, I'd like to place on record our gratitude to Ed Woodward, no relation, and Manchester United for their professionalism and approach. Yeah.
Professional is.
Well done, Man United, you professional football club, you. Both Kieran and Martin will be in attendance for Saturday's fixture with Sunderland with a formal press conference scheduled for Monday. There you go.
Anyone got really excited when that happened? Can we just, Richard, quickly, thank you to David, €10 again on the Super Chat. James.
Is that for my Northern Irish accent? Maybe.
It was exactly what it was for.
That was to make you stop.
Go on, Kieran. I got excited then when all that happened. Yeah. I wanted
check
to roar.
Twitter, Charlie. Yeah, I was thinking, what's happened on Twitter?
I'm just excited that we haven't gone too early. We are right. He's the manager. We're not going to have to just dump this to
them.
I mean,
we went out too early.
we went big. We went early. Yeah, official. Official. Welcome, Kieran. Yeah, well done. Good news. Here we go. Lee spotted the website. 15% off Lifebuoy. Yeah. No affiliation, unfortunately.
Rich is so grateful that it was Lifebuoy that popped up there.
Yeah. It wasn't like the adverts before the game yesterday. It seemed in every ad break on ITV.
Erectile dysfunction.
Great postage, though, guys.
That's do you ever look at yourself as a football fan when you're listening to podcasts and it's all male shaving things, erectile dysfunction, things that make you smell better and to dye your hair from grey to black? It's like, really? Am I? Is this all?
That must
all
just be you, Ben, because mine are just normal.
Every time. Yeah, dearie me.
Never mind. Paul reckons it scans into Never Gonna Give You Up Nicely.
Kieran McKenna. It does it in there. Never gonna give, never gonna give you up.
Never gonna give away a lead at home.
2-0.
Welcome to the Nut House, Kieran. Yeah.
I think that's got to be the thing now. It's just like we all bang on about what may or may not happen. Just good luck. Good luck to the guy, for God's sakes. Yeah.
Welcome Michael's to League in. One when you're going to be there in a go. Technical area 6 inches away from Steve Evans in your first game.
Well, there you go.
So it's the disrespect for Steve Evans from Fares today.
He does a good job, but he's not he's not one for holding back in the technical area, is he?
I think it's just pit bull he has with him, isn't it? I think Steve Evans is out the term. He's the more reclusive,
might be gone,
isn't he?
Mightn't he? I mean, I can't remember the league table. They're not doing
heart disease.
Yeah. Oh, this has turned rather sour. There we go. I'm going to end with this one. We're at 1:10. We're going to end it here. We have proven correct. For the first time in this podcast history, we have preempted a managerial appointment as if it's going to happen, factually happening. We are ahead of the curve.
We've made it happen.
We've manifested
influences.
It.
Influences we are.
There we go. So, guys, I'm going to give you each a kind of a final word on this. But just to reiterate, if you just tuned in, or if you just watched the last 5 minutes on YouTube, Kieran McKenna now confirmed as Ipswich Town. Did it say what his actual job title is?
It said manager, didn't it? In the first
manager of Ipswich Town. Manager. There we go. Not head coach.
Yeah. 3.5 years.
Martin Pers is assistant. How long, Joe?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. One of the, I think Stat might have tweeted something like the second youngest manager in our entire history, the 19th manager in our history as well.
I think he's 20 days older than Alf Ramsey, who looked about 75 years old at the time he was appointed.
Well, let's hope that Kieran can see us through till 2025 on his contract, because if he has, something has gone very, very
wrong. Has happened. If you want a shout-out or anything like that before we go, get your comments in now. As I said, pre-match show live tomorrow night. Friday with me and Seb. Join us for that, 8 o'clock. Flagship out on Monday, and we'll be talking more about Kieran McKenna, no doubt, over the next few weeks. But let's get just final thoughts from everyone. I'll do it in reverse order. Ben, what's your thoughts?
I'm going to quote the great Sir Alex Ferguson now on his retirement speech, who said, "I'd also like to remind you that when we had bad times at the club, all the staff stood by me, all the players stood by me. Your job now is to stand by your new manager."
Yeah.
Could probably play
Dolly Parton.
Land of Hope and Glory behind there.
Oh, I thought you could say "Stand by your man." You were going to start singing then.
Joe, your final thoughts on Kieran McKenna and Martin Pert?
I'm going to go for an inspirational quote of management is doing the right things. Management is doing things right. Leadership is doing the right things.
Thank you, Craig.
I'm just going through my own personal book of influential management quotes.
No, are you really reading these?
Oh, dear.
Money don't make my world go round.
All we got to do is keep on walking.
I'm reaching out to a high ground. Sorry, Craig, on.
It's all right, mate. Yeah, give the guy some time. Give him some support. See where we end up. And stay safe, everybody, I think.
Stay safe. We'll end with the Jerry, be kind to each other, whatever Jerry Springer used to say. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you for the thumbs up. Thank you for the super chats. Everyone's been super generous for that. We do appreciate it. Thank you so much. I'll leave you with our new chant for Kieran McKenna, which is, "Oh, Kieran McKenna." No, it's not. We'll come
the
up with something
better.
The
only time I endorse doing this goal celebration there.
Yeah. Come up with something better. Take care, everyone, and come on, you Blues.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.